We're holding on page pay in Rosh Hashanah, middle of Os Choftes. It is about three or four lines from the beginning of the wide lines. We're in the middle of discussing which the Mishnah had said we have to say Pesukim and Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofros. So the question is, which Pesukim count for the purpose? So we established so far you can't use Pesukim that refer to a Yochid unless like the entire Jewish people descend from them, like Sarah. You have Machlokas whether you can use Pesukim that use the word Pokad instead of Zohar. Technically, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi that you could, but the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch mentioned that in practice we don't. There's enough psukim with zichronis out there that we don't need to get involved in that machlokas. And we had a couple of other details as well. So now the Gemara continues. You have the psukim and tell them su sharim nashechem, lift up gates of the Beis Hamikdash, lift up your heads, v'hinasu pischayelam, and raise yourselves up. You eternal doors, the Yahweh Melech, your eternal openings, the Yahweh Melech HaKavod, and let the glorious king come in. Mizem Melech HaKavod, who is this king of glory? Hashem is the giver. Hashem is powerful and mighty. Hashem giver Mochama. Hashem is mighty in war. Then again, the gates lift up your heads and lift up your eternal openings. Let the glorious king come. Who is this glorious king? Hashem Tzvakas is the glorious king forever. So we have a lot of times in these psukim where it says the word melech. Question is, how many of them count towards Malchus? So Rabbi Yossi says the first round, and the response, Miza Melech HaKavod, Hashem Izuz V'Giver, altogether, you have three times. It says you have twice. It says Melech and those Psukim. So therefore, the Yavim Melech HaKavod, Miza Melech HaKavod. So therefore, you have twice Melech, and therefore those can count as two Psukim of Malchus, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. And the second time you have Sushar Mashaykham Supaskalam, you have a Melech HaKavod, Miza Melech HaKavod, Hashem Tzvakas, or Melech HaKavod Sela. So Rabbi Yossi says all of them count. Therefore, we have three Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shaina Akas Shnei Shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda says no, you only have one the first time and two the second time. So Rashi explains that you don't count Mizem Melech HaKavod either time because that's only a question. So when you have the answer, Hashem Izuz in the first one, you don't have an answer to it. You only have Hashem Izuz V'Gibber, Hashem Gibber Mochama. It's talking about Hashem's strength, but that's not what we're focusing on Rosh Hashanah. We want to focus on Hashem's Malchus. Therefore, you don't have an answer there. So therefore, all you have is V'Yavim Melech HaKavod from the first time. The second time, you have V'Yavim Melech HaKavod and Hashem Tzvakus from Melech HaKavod Selah. So Rabbi Yehuda says it can count as two. So the Beis Yosef actually points out on tour that it comes out from this that you apparently don't need separate psukim necessarily. It's enough to have you don't need separate psukim per se. It's enough to have separate mentions of Malchus. You could conceivably have more than one. You could conceivably have a pasuk that has more than one Malchus, and the same thing with Zechronus and Shofros. The Beis Yosef points that out. Now Maharsha points out another thing like this. That he asks, well, why do we need to know whether they how many they count as? As two or as three or whatever? The question should just be, is the Pasuk Miza Melech HaKavod, Hashem Izuz V'Giber, Hashem Giber Mochama, does that count or not? And then we'd understand that what their machlokes is. So he says that no, if you said Miza Melech HaKavod by itself, sure, it would count as Malchus, because you have other Pesukim that describe Hashem as king, and here you're saying Miza Melech HaKavod, Hashem Izuz V'Giber, that's good enough. The question is, when you're saying it together with these other Pesukim, the Yahweh Melech HaKavod, Miza Melech HaKavod, and the response Hashem, and the response first Hashem Izuz V'Giber, and the second time Hashem Tzvakas for Melech HaKavod Sela. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that when you have it together with the other Pesukim, you can't count it as an extra Malchus. If you were to say it by itself, if you were to say two other Pesukim of Malchus from Ksuvim, and then say Miza Melech HaKavod, Hashem Izuz V'Giber, then Maharal Shah says Rabbi Yehuda would be fine with that. The point is, Maharsha says that you shouldn't think, after all, you have the Gemara tells in Shabbos, when were these psukim said? When Shlomo HaMelech was bringing the Arin, had the Kohen and bring the Arin into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they couldn't get it in because the doors wouldn't open. And he says these psukim, Sushar Mashaychem, and the gates themselves are asking, Miza Melech HaKavod, what are you claiming that you're the Melech HaKavod? And he first explains, Hashem is the giver, and then when they still don't open, he says outright, Hashem Tzvakas or Melech HaKavod Tzela. So you shouldn't mistakenly think that Miza Melech covered is taka referring to shleima. Therefore, the Gemara wants us to know that no, they do count as psukim amalchus, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, not when you have it together with the other ones. Next, another example, Zamru Elikim Zameru, where you have a capital, this is the capital we say before Tkiyas Shofar, sing to Elikim, sing, Zamru Lamarkenu Zameru, sing to our king, sing, Ki Melech Kol Ha'aretz Elikim, because Hashem is king over the whole world. So Shnayim, Divrei Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi says that would count as two Pesukim Malchus, because one says Lamarkenu, and the other one says Ki Melech Kol Ha'aretz. Rabbi Yehuda Oima Achas, Rabbi Yehuda says it counts only as one. Now, why is that? Maharsha explains, because Zamru l'malkeinu means that he's only our king over us Jewish people. But we want to have psukim that stress that Hashem is king over the entire world. Now, it is true that there are other psukim that we say for Malchus. For example, we say Hashem alikav ima yusuras melech boy, but there we're not explicitly saying that Hashem is only king over us. Maharsha explains, in particular, this whole capital is talking about, it talks about shofar, Ola Elikim B'Surah, Hashem B'Kel Shofar. So in the context of that, the rest of the year, Zamru Le'Lekenu, but on Rosh Hashanah, it's Zamru L'Malkenu. We know that we switch out, we say HaMelech HaKadosh instead of HaKel HaKadosh. So therefore, so we want to stress that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is Melech HaKol HaOretz, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is saying it wouldn't count as Malchus, because on Rosh Hashanah, the theme is primarily that Hashem is Melech HaKol HaOretz, and not just king over us Jewish people individually. So when you have, when you have a pasuk by itself, for example, Hashem alekav umo suras melech boy, which doesn't say anything, doesn't address about the goyim one way or the other, then fine, we can say that counts for malchus. But here we have the surrounding psukim talk about Hashem judging the whole world, and all of a sudden we have in here the malkeinu, then it doesn't fit with the theme of malchus, Maharsha explains. Therefore, we can't use it. So v'shavin. V'shavin, now both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi do agree, v'molach alekim avgoyim, alekim yashav, akisei kodshe, when it comes to another pasuk in that same capital that says Hashem rules over the goyim, Hashem sits on his holy throne, shehi achas, they both agree that would count as one, meaning molach alekim avgoyim, sure, counts as one. You shouldn't think alekim yashav, akisei kodshe, Hashem sits on his holy throne, maybe that should count as a second malchus, because after all, sitting on a throne is for a king. No, they both agree that you only have one malchus in that pasuk. Maharsha, by the way, in this connection, refers to something interesting that he meant, that he says in his Pirush on Yevamos. The Gemara talks about there in Yevamos about you have, on the one hand, you have Dusha Hashem Bihimatzah. He's suggesting there's only certain times of year when Hashem is accessible. On the other hand, we have B'chol Koreinu Elov, that it's any time. And the Gemara mentions over there you have a difference as far as a Yochid, Atzeres Mitzvah versus the rest of the year, whereas the Tzibur you have all year round. We had it actually earlier in this Masechta as well. So Maharsha mentions in that connection, you also have, we see that reflected in the point that during the year, we say okay lakodesh, and then Roshana, from Roshana to Yom Kippur, we say Hamelach Hakodesh. He connects that with, like this, we have the pasuk that we say right before the bracha in the tefillas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We say the pasuk by Yigba Hashem Tzvakas Bamishbat or okay lakodesh Nikdash Mitzdaka. That, I mean, that in that pasuk itself, it reflects those two different ways that Hashem relates to us throughout the rest of the year. Okay lakodesh Nikdash Mitzdaka, Hashem is made holy by treating us with tzedaka. So therefore, that's the rest of the year. We can be saying Hakel, but Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, specifically the Yemei Hadin. Therefore, for that time of year, you have more appropriately Vayigba Hashem Tzvakas Bamishpat, and therefore that's the time of Mishpat, and therefore that's the time when we refer to Hashem as the King. But again, even though we're saying that on the one hand, Hashem is judging us Jewish people specifically, more generally, Hashem is judging at that time the entire world. So therefore, the Pesukim of Malchus have to reflect that point. Okay. More machlokas in about psukim. Zikoren sheyesh bo trua. Suppose you have a pasuk that has zikoren and trua in it. Kigoin shabosin zikoren trua mikra kodesh. The pasuk that talks about the yom tov of Rosh Hashanah. Oimrei mezichronis v'oimrei mashofris divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says you would be allowed to say it together with zichronis and repeat it again in shofris because it's fine. It has both themes. Rabbi Yehuda oimrei ena oimrei elohem in zichronis bovav. Rabbi Yehuda says you can say it only with Zichronis. So Rashi explains because Rabbi Yehuda holds Trua is not considered a Shofaris Pasuk. A Shofaris Pasuk has to have the word Shofar in it, and this doesn't have. So we'll talk about soon what Maharsha says on this. Similarly, Malchus Shriyashi Matura. Similarly, if you have a Pasuk that has Malchus and Trua, Kagoin Hashem Alekavi Moris Zeruas Melach Boi. Now, the word Trua in that Pasuk, by the way, not all the Mephoshim agree that it means Trua as in blowing shofar. Many of the Mephoshim on the Pasuk explain that Truas is Meloshin Reya, which means a friend. It means the friendship of the king is with, of the king of Hashem is with us Jewish people. But here the Gemara is understanding it in the sense that the trumpeting, the blowing the shofar in honor of Hashem, is with us Jewish people. So again, Oimreim HaMalchus for Oimreim HaShofar is Divrei Rav Yosi. So again, Rav Yosi says you can use it in two different segments of Shemoneh Esrei. Rav Yehuda Oimreim HaMalchus Bilvad, and Rav Yehuda says again, you can only use it for Malchus because, again, since the word in it is Truas, so therefore it doesn't count as a Shofar's Pasuk. And similarly, Truas She'enim Aloikvum, what if you have a Pasuk that has only Trua and nothing else? You're going Yom Trua Yilachem. Oimreim HaShofar is Divrei Rav Yosi. So Rav Yosi says, fine, you can use it as a pasuk of shofars. Rav Yehuda Oimer, Eina Oimer Kol Iker. Rav Yehuda says you can't say it at all because, again, according to him, you have to have a pasuk that has the word shofar somewhere in it. Now, the question is, Maharshal says, and if that's all Rav Yehuda is arguing about, then why do we need to mention in three different psukim? Why isn't it enough to present them machlokas once? And we'll understand that he means any case like that, that you can't do it. So rather, Maharshal explains like this. When it comes to Zichra and Trua, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, never mind the question of whether you can use Trua as a Shofaris Pasuk. The fact is you already used it for Zichronis. So you can't use it for Shofaris again. And the same thing, if you use it in Malchus, you can't use it in Shofaris again. So those first two Machlokas in, it's not so much that he's saying the problem is with the word Trua, rather the problem is you've already used this Pasuk in the other segment. Now, then when it comes to the last one, Yom Trua Yilachem, there Rabbi Yehuda is saying, by the way, you know what, never mind that. The fact is, I hold you can't use the same pasuk in two different brachas anyhow. But aside from that, you also can't use any pasuk that has trua as a shofaris pasuk because it's not. Now, why is that? Maharsha explains, because since we're bechlal, do we know the whole concept of what sounds you have to blow on Rosh Hashanah? So we know you have to have tkia and trua, and then you have the difference of what trua is, whether it's shvarim, whether it's what we call shvarim, or whether it's what we call trua, or both of them. The Gemara further on, which is not here in Ein Yaakov, discusses that whole point, and eventually you have the takana of Rabba Bohu to do all of them. Anyway, the point is, by Rosh Hashanah itself, it never mentions the word tkia. It only says trua, yom trua yelachem. Where bechlal do we know that you have to blow a tkia as well? We learn it from Yovel. The trua, the word trua actually comes from a word that means breaking, like you have the word alai plushes hisroi oi in Tilim, which means that plushes will be broke, the plishtim will be broken because of me. And you have other cases where the shurdash reish ayin means to break. So a trua suggests a broken sound, which of course it is. Therefore, that represents more of a matter of din. And we don't want that on Rosh Hashanah. That is why on Rosh Hashanah, every time we have a trua, it has to be preceded and followed by a tkia, which refers to chesed. The tkia we learn by Exeter Shava from Yovel. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you don't want a pasuk that mentions only trua by itself, because that defeats the whole purpose. Then you mention and you're saying a pasuk that refers to Midas Adin on Rosh Hashanah, and you don't want to do that. In other words, he would say, mainly you have a pasuk that has the word tkia by itself, and he would accept that, so according to Maharsha's Svara, but not a pasuk with trua only. Now, an interesting point in that actually is, so we have at the end of Shofaris, so we have the 10th posik that we say. We end each of the brachas with a posik from Chumash, and by Shofaris, the posik we do is of Yom Simchaschem of Mayadechem. Now, it has over there the word of Skatim, but Bachat Soitzris, with trumpets. There's no Shofar mentioned there at all. So how are we Bechlal using it as a, how Bechlal are we using it as a completing posik for Shofaris? So, in fact, in the Torah, it mentions an interesting discussion. Before we even get into that, the Torah points out, on the face of it, we have a problem when it comes to Zichronus and Shofus. When it comes to Malchus, we have the Pesukim pretty much back-to-back. We at the end of Aleinu, we have Hashem Yimlach Lenavod, then we go straight into Benem of Lahibit Oven B'Yakov, and the rest of the Pesukim from Chumash, and then we go immediately into the Pesukim from Ksuvim and from Nevi'im, and then right away of Saras Chokas of Leimashma Yisrael Hashem Alekenu Hashem Achad, which the Gemara is going to discuss in the next piece, that counts as a Pesuk of Malchus. Very well. But when it comes to Zichronus and Shofaris, we finish off with the Pesukim of Nevi'im, then we have a paragraph afterwards, Alekenu Alekev Sen, Zichronu Zichron and Tov Lefanecha, or the paragraph that we have by Shofaris, Tkaba Shofar Gadol L'Cheresenu, and then in the middle of that, we have the pasuk from Chumash. Does that really count? Shouldn't all the psukim be 10? Should be all 10 together? So the Torah actually brings an opinion that says, it's fine. You know what? L'chatchila, you're supposed to end off with a pasuk from Chumash. But L'maisa, in Zechronus and Shofris, we say a lot more than 10 psukim anyway. So therefore, if we don't end up with the last pasuk in Chumash, it's not so bad. So therefore, if we have that pasuk, so that pasuk, according to them, is not really completing the 10 psukim of Zechronus or the 10 psukim of Shofris, but rather it's there just as part of that final tefillah, but it's not actually considered one of the 10 psukim. And the Torah discusses the pros and cons of that, and he brings in fact that yesh omim, that no, the fact is the Mishnah is saying you're supposed, as we're going to learn now in the Gemara, you're supposed to end with Chumash. B'dieved, you don't end with Chumash, then fine, you can be Yotza. Are we going to set up the tefillah? Is going to be a b'dieved dick away? So you still have. So then you back to the problem. Then to how are we using Uviyom Simchaschem as a final pasuk for shofaris when it's when it doesn't mention the word shofar at all? So in fact, the Torah brings up the word Rishonim who used different psukim. There was the Ramban actually used the pasuk Yom Truah Yilachem as we have over here that Rabbi Yossi says you could use it. There was the Rabbi Yitzchok Ibn Geus, one of the great early Rishonim who was a chaver slash rebbe of the Rif, used instead, I think he said the Ramban repeated a pasuk from Malchus. He held that you're like Rabbi Yossi over here that you could repeat a pasuk, so he used the pasuk with Suras Melech Boy. And then Rabbi Yitzchak Ibn Geis would use the pasuk Yom Truah Yelachem. L'maisa, the Torah says it's not a problem. It does mention the word Tkiah. The fact that it says Chatzotzeris doesn't make it that it's no longer usable. It mentions the word Tkiah. That's good enough. If a pasuk with the word Truah is good enough, according to Rabbi Yossi, then a pasuk with the word Tkiah is also fine, even though it's referring to Tkiah with Chatzotzeris. Onward, the Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said, "Maschol b'Torah Mashlim b'Navi." You start each segment, Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofaris, with Psukim from Chumash, and you finish off with Psukim from Navi. As we discussed the other day, there's a reason why we put Ksuvim before Nevi'im. Tosfos points out because of the Psukim we use from Ksuvim are from Tillim, and Tillim was written before Tillim was composed before most of the Nevi'im. Rabbi Yossi Omeim Hishlam HaTorah Yotza. And Rabbi Yossi says, if you finish B'dieved with a pasuk from Torah, then you Yotza. The Gemara says, Im Hishlam D'yeved Eim Achtchil Aloi. So you're telling me it's only the B'dieved dika thing to finish with Torah. V'hatani, we learn in a b'raisa, Rabbi Yossi Omeim Hishlam HaTorah, Harezim Meshubach. On the contrary, Rabbi Yossi says that if you finish with a pasuk in Torah, that's the best thing, rather than finishing with a pasuk from Nevi'im. So the Gemara says, "Ema mashlim." Okay, so you could say that the Mishnah doesn't mean im hishlim; it means mashlim. That the Mishnah is saying he should finish with Torah. The Gemara says, "What do you mean, v'ha im hishlim katani?" The fact is, the Mishnah says if he finished it off with Torah, diyeved ein lachatchil aloy, implying that that's only b'diyeved. No, so the answer is hachikama. We do have to change the wording of the Mishnah a little bit, but not so dramatically. We say maschol b'Torah or mashlim anov. It's the other way around. The Tanakhama says that you start with Torah and finish with Navi. Rabbi Yossi says, Mashlim b'Torah. So we're adding in a few words to what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yossi says you should finish with Torah. The im hishlim b'Navi, but if you finish with Navi, yotza, then you yotza b'dieved. So in other words, when we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, im hishlim b'Torah yotza, what we're doing is we're changing it a little bit. We're not completely flipping it around, but we're saying that really what he's saying is the best thing is to be mashlim b'Torah, but if you are mashlim b'Navi, then you yotza b'dieved. And the Gemara says, Tanya nami hochi, we learn in fact a braise exactly like that. Omer ablozeb Rabbi Yossi, vosikin ho you mashlim in oisa b'Torah. The Vasikin, the people who are extra careful and Zoris with mitzvahs, would complete each of the brachas with a pasuk from Torah. So again, that brings us back to that whole discussion in the Torah about the end psukim that we have for Zechronus and Shofaris, whether those truly do count as ending with Torah or not, since they're embedded in a paragraph of a bracha. Okay. So Gemara points out, Bishlem Zechronus v'Shofaris Ikatova. Now, when it comes to Zechronus and when it comes to Shofaris, there's lots of psukim available in Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So you have enough psukim to pick from. And for that reason, like I said, the Torah mentions, for example, that, as far as the machlokas of whether you can use pikdonis, technically the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Generally, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi against most other tanoi. However, so technically you could use a pasuk like Vashem Pakad Asara. But since we have enough other psukim that have the word zachar in them, then why get into machlokas? Let's just use psukim that mention explicitly the word zachar and have done with it. But El Malchus Tlasu Dehabian. On the face of it, when it comes to Malchus, you really only have three psukim in Chumash that refer to Hashem's Malchus, that call Hashem Melech. You have Hashem Alekavi Meir Suras Melech Boy, Vayhi Vishurun Melech. And mind you, there are Mephoshim who explain that the Pasuk Vayhi Vishurun Melech, on a pshat level, there are Mephoshim who explain that it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was considered a king for a certain extent in Halacha. But the Gemara is obviously assuming that no, it means Hashem is king over Yeshurun, which is a nickname for the Jewish people. And Hashem Yimlech Lehem Vod. So you have those three psukim. Ba'anan ba'inet eser. Now we need 10, of which we have to have three from Chumash, and then we have to have one at the end to finish off Veleka, and we don't have. Where's a fourth pasuk in Chumash that we're going to use to end off Malchus? So that's the question. In other words, if we said that the best thing is to finish off with Navi, fine, we can find plenty of psukim and Nevi'im that mention Hashem as king, so therefore we can have three, and then we can have one pasuk of Navi at the end. But if you're telling me that we're supposed to end off with a fourth pasuk of Chumash, what fourth pasuk are we going to use? So Marsha points out, by the way, Marsha brings from the Ran that the Gemara is not bothering to list them in order. If you look at the order of the psukim over here, you've got from Bamidbar, from Parshas Balak, one of Bilam's brachas, by Hibishurun Melech, which is from Parshas Vezesa Bracha, and Hashem Yimlech Lenabod, which is all the way back in Chumash Shmois in Beshalach at the end of the Shira. In davening, we have to say them kesedir. And indeed, in davening, when we have each of the psukim in Malchus, Zechurinus, and Shofarus, we do say them in order. For example, here we do takapot Hashem Yimlech Lehem Vod is first. Then the pasuk Lohibit Oven BeYakov Hashem Alekavi Mo Suras Melech Boy, and then Vnema Vayhi Vishurun Melech. So we do do them in order. One exception that it mentions actually is when it comes to the psukim, when it comes to the Nevi'im of Zichronis, there we actually do them out of order. The Nevi'im psukim of Zichronis, we have first comes Koyama Hashem Zachauti Loch Chesed Nurayich, which is from Yirmiyah. Then we have a pasuk from Yechezkel, Zachauti Anias Brisi Oisach Vimei Nurayich. And then we have another pasuk from Yirmiyah, Havein Yaku Liefrayim. Why do we do it in that order? So the Torah explains, because since the first pasuk from Yirmiyah refers to Hashem says, Zachauti Loch Chesed Nurayich. I remember how wonderfully you acted towards me in your youth when you left Mitzrayim and went into the desert with total Amunah and the Eivishter. Therefore, we want to put right after that the pasuk from Yechezkel that's on the same thing. Zachauti Anias Brisi Oisef Vimei Nurayich, where Hashem again says that I'm going to remember after all. That pasuk of Yechezkel, by the way, is after a long searing tepitl where he talks about how badly the Jewish people have acted and what consequences they've suffered for it. But then he says, after all is said and done, I'm still ultimately going to remember that I made a bris with you in your youth. So therefore, absolutely want to put that together with the pasuk from Yirmiyah, because they're on the same theme, and only after that is going to come Havein Yaakov Liefrayim. But other than that, basically we do the psukim in the order in which they come in that respective segment of Tanakh. Anyway, so again, back to the Gemara. So the question is, again, what fourth pasuk are we going to use for Malchus? So the answer is, Amar Rav Huna Toshma. We can answer based on the following braisa. The pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Alekeinu Hashem Echad, Malchus, Divrei Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi says that pasuk counts as a pasuk of Malchus because it expresses the point that Hashem is the only one and therefore that he's the ruler of the whole world. So even though it doesn't say the word Melech, it still counts as Malchus. Divrei Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda Meina Malchus, Rav Yehuda says that not. Well, since Rav Yosi is the one that we said is the one who said that you should end off with Psukim of Torah, then therefore, fine, Rav Yosi Lishitasai can say that there's no problem, you have a Pasuk available for that. Similarly, when it says, V'yadaita ayem ha-shavoyse al-lovavacho, you should know today, and you should consider. And by the way, as far as Shema, we have the concept of Kabbalah, that Shema Yisrael is Yichud Eilah, and Baruch Shem Kuen Malchus al-Lavad is Yichud Tatar. And it is. It's Kabbalah's Eil Malchus Shemaim. In fact, we call Shema as accepting the yoke of Hashem's kingship. So therefore, yes, Rabbi Yossi says it counts as a Pasuk of Malchus. The same thing, V'yadaita ayem ha-shavoyse al-lovavacho, you should know today, and you should could take it to heart, ki Hashem hu alekim, that Hashem is the only power, einoid. Also, Malchus divrei Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi says that counts as Malchus. Rav Yehuda ayma ena Malchus. Rav Yehuda says you have to have a pasuk that says the actual word Melech in it, and therefore it doesn't count. Similarly, Ata Horeis Ladas, you've been shown in order to be aware, ki Hashem hu alekim, that Hashem is the only power, einoid milavado, there's nothing else besides him, Malchus divrei Rav Yosi. Rav Yehuda ayma ena Malchus. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, you have plenty of psukim that you can pick from to do for the fourth pasuk from Chumash of Malchus. Lamaisa, we do Shema Yisrael. But actually, there's an interesting thing. You know, you have in the Machzor, we have when the Chazan is saying Aleinu, when he gets to Hu Elokeinu Einod, there's a paragraph printed over there that says the Kabbalah from the Rekeach, that while the Chazan is saying Hu Elokeinu Einod, then we should say a collection of psukim over there that begin with Atah Horeisol Das. So what we're doing, in effect, is we're following Rabbi Yossi's opinion and saying, since these psukim are available to be used as malchus, fine, we're not going to make them part of the nusach of Shemona Esrei, that we're going to say it's still Shemona Esrei and that the Chazan is going to say out loud, but nevertheless, we will say them as part of malchus before we get into the actual psukim of malchus themselves, which begin primarily with Hashem Yimlech Lanu Vayim. So it works out that way. Marsha goes into a very interesting explanation over here about the deeper idea of why we have these three brachas on Rosh Hashanah anyway. Why taka do we have to have the themes of Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofars? So he says, because we know the Rambam set up 13 ikrim of Yiddishkeit, different Rishonim and Achronim, different Rishonim primarily, argued on the Rambam about that, and argued that the list should be different. Some of them argued that you really can't reduce Yiddishkeit to a list of ikrim, because everything is an ikr, and then you had others who argued that maybe the list is too overbroad, maybe there are certain things over there that are not, strictly speaking, an ikr. Famously, the Sefer Ikrim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, who lived about 300 years after the Rambam, 200-300 years after the Rambam, he says that really primarily you have three Ikrim. He says that you really have those three primary things, and then all the ones that the Rambam lists are sort of sub-branches of them. A person has to know that there's an Eibishter, that he gave us a Torah, and that he rewards and punishes. And then each of those has various sub-details in it. Within the fact that Hashem exists is that he's one, is that he exists, and that he's one, and that he doesn't have a goof, etc. And the same thing with each of the other ones. So now, Malchus then primarily focuses on the fact that Hashem exists, and Hashem is one. Zichronus is talking about that Hashem should remember us, which means, in other words, that's focusing on Schar V'Oinish, that Hashem should remember us for good and give us a Schar. And Shofaris is the context that we mention of Shofar over there. We start the bracha at Niglesev Anan Kvedecha, and the psukim we bring from Chumash are all about Matan Torah, because the theme of Shofaris is to remember Matan Torah, which is the third of these primary ikrim. So that's why we have these three brachas and in that order is to stress these three primary points of Yiddishkeit. And then he goes on to explain that you have in a similar vein, you have the Shira HaZinu begins with the same theme as well, that the Torah is given in HaShemayim, HaZinu HaShemayim V'Sishma HaOretz, and you're going to wonder, how can a Torah which is in Shemayim come down to earth? Well, Yarif Kamoto Likhi, it's the same way as the rain comes down. And you have various other psukim that he brings of that idea that you should realize that yes, Hashem gave us the Torah down here and that it came from Shemayim. You shouldn't think it was invented here on earth or something. You should realize that it comes min Hashemayim and it's Chochmasir Ritzone Shalakodesh Baruch Hu that comes down to us. And he mentioned Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Goydel Lelekenu. I'm calling out to you. I'm telling you that Hashem exists. And then Havu Goydel Lelekenu, you should go and give greater greatness to Hashem by understanding and contemplating and delving into that and understanding what it means about the greatness of Hashem. The Mishnah mentions that you have the Mishnah mentions like this when it comes to Tkiyas Shofar, that Tkiyas Shofar is done in connection with Musaf. So the way the Mishnah phrases it is the second Chazan by his tefillah is when you're blowing Shofar. So you blow Shofar before Musaf, and then you blow Shofar during Shtivl Shemana Esrei and during Chazaras Hashatz of Musaf. And then the Mishnah says when Hallel is said, then Hallel is said by the first Chazan, meaning that Hallel is said after Shachris. So the implication is Rosh Hashanah in Emim Hallel. So the implication is that Rosh Hashanah is not a day that we say Hallel, because the Mishnah is distinguishing on Rosh Hashanah we do such and such, as opposed to on a day when we say Hallel we do such and such, implying that on Rosh Hashanah we don't say Hallel. My timer. So why not? On the face of it, other than the point of the question is, on the face of it, it is a Yom Tov after all. And Iyun Yaakov points out, after all, Hashem is sitting on Kisei Shel Rachamim, so it should be a time Adarav, but we should be praising Hashem for his chesed and for his rachamim and saying Hallel. Elmer Rabbo, Omru Malachi Ashoris Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Malachi Ashoris say, and in fact, Marsha also refers to the Gemara explains in Erchin that after all it's called Moed and you're not allowed to do Malacha, so therefore it should be a very appropriate time to say Hallel. So why Takadoli? Omru Babahu, Omru Malachi Ashoris Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachi Ashoris actually have the same question that they ask Hashem. Ribbono Shel Olam, Mipnei Ma En Omru Lefanecha Yisrael Shira V'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. Why do the Jewish people not say Shira before you on those days? And Iyun Yaakov points out there's a naftamina in it for them, because after all, we know the Malachim can't say Shira until we do. So if we're not saying Shira of Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, then they're stuck. So they want to know about that. Although there is an interesting point, Tosfos actually, in that Gemara in Erchin, Tosfos says almost the opposite point. Tosfos says, it's true that we don't say the Shira of Hallel, but the fact is we do say Oz Yashir, and that's not a problem because that's more Sipur Dvorim Ba'alma. We're telling over what the Jewish people said, what the Jewish people sang at Kriyas Yamsuf, and therefore that's enough to give permission to the Malachim to sing. Therefore, Tosfos points out an interesting thing. We have various places in Davening where we talk about the song of the Malachim. You have Piyutim in particular that we say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that talk about Kol Adire Maila, the Edom Adrim, whatever, and all those Piyutim that talk about how the Malachim sing to Hashem. In fact, in older Machzorim, you'll find many more such Piyutim. You can look in older Machzorim, they have entire cycles of Piyutim to be said during Kedusha. I don't know if there's anybody who davens in those Neschos anymore, but if they do, then Kedusha must take easily a good half hour to 45 minutes. But anyway, you have a piyut there that says v'chayis yishereiru, the v'chayis of singing to Hashem and so on and so forth. Well, based on this, then how does that work? Tosfos says that's why, because the fact is we are saying a shira on Rosh Hashanah, just not the shira of Hallel. Therefore, the Malachim are able to sing, but they're wondering, Taco, still, why aren't we saying Hallel? Amalehem, so Hashem answers them, Elef Efshem Melech Yoshev Akisedin, how could you think it would be possible that the king is sitting on the throne of judgment, the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim Psuchim Lefonav, the books of who's going to live and who Chas V'Shalom, the opposite, are open in front of him, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, and of course you have the Sifrei Beinanim as well, but ultimately the Beinanim get decided for one or the other on Yom Kippur. V'Yisrael Omrim Shira, that the Jewish people should say Shira at such a time, Shira is not appropriate when a person's life is in the balance. After the person is saved, then you have shir. In Chassidus, it talks about in many places the idea that the idea that there is a simcha of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but it's more bakese, it's more hidden, and it comes out more openly on the Yom Tov of Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. So that you have also. We couldn't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because we're concerned, because after all, Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Mesim, but after all, we have the confidence, as the Iyun Yaakov points out, that the Eibishta is going to judge us favorably. Therefore, that Simcha comes out begolui on Sukkot and on Shemini Atzeres, and we take a say for 8 or 9 days straight, we say Hallel. Incidentally, in this connection that the Mishnah mentions that Tkiyas Shofar is said in connection with Musaf, the Gemara actually asks why, on the face of it, Zuzan Makdimin LeMitzvahs, we ought to do it during Shacharis, and the Gemara answers B'shas Gzeiras HaMalchus Shonu. At one point, there was a government edict, so there was a government Gzeira that prevented them from blowing Shofar by Shacharis, so therefore they had to move it to Musaf. There's a fascinating explanation. First of all, Tosfos says that actually it wasn't really so much a gzeira as more of a misunderstanding. Tosfos says what happened was that one time the Goyim saw the Jews are blowing shofar and they thought they're blowing it as a signal to gather everybody together for war. So they went and attacked them. Then when they saw afterwards, so then they moved it to Musaf and they see everybody's davening and Shema and Shemana Esrei and leaning from the Torah and then blowing shofar. So they realized, you know what, this is it's their religious rituals. Nothing against us. There's a fascinating explanation from a Levi Yitzchak, actually from the Rebbe's father, which was published in Chayenu earlier this year, that goes into this more pnimius in Yonim. He explains, Bekitzer, the idea should be to blow shofar during Shacharis, because Shacharis has to do with Avraham Avinu, and that would be the chesed of Avraham, and the chesed of Shacharis would overcome the gvura that has to do with the shofar. So they're taka for that reason, the Goyim were against it. So they figured if they blow it by Musaf, fine. Musaf has more of a connection with Yosef, who's more on the side of Yitzchak. He's Yisoid, which is more connected with Yitzchak, with his Gvura. So they don't care about that. Fine, by all means, the Shofar, after all, itself is an Indian of Gvuras. Like we said before, Trua is an Indian of Gvura. So they didn't care about that. What they didn't chapsich, though, is that after all, that in Musaf, that it has to do taka with Yosef, but Yosef also has a very deep connection with Avraham. So therefore, there is chesed in Musaf as well. And therefore, we do actually have, we blow shofar during Musaf, and it still has the effect that the Eibishter gets up from Kisei Din and sits down on Kisei Rachmim. And therefore, that's how we do it Adayim Azim. So in a way, so we would have done it during Shachris were it not for this Gzeiras HaMalchus. In fact, by the way, Rabbi Yitzchak has a very interesting point over there. Now, like this, the word Gzeiras HaMalchus literally means Gzeira from the government. But the Rabbi Yitzchak has an explanation over there as part of this that it also means Malchus is cut up. We know there's the idea of Nesira. There's the idea that Malchus has to be cut away, so to speak, from Zah. And then like the way Chava was cut away from Adam tradition, and then rebuilt Binyan Amalchus. There's many Maimonides that talk about in great detail how Binyan Amalchus is accomplished on Rosh Hashanah through our Tfilas, and particularly through Tekiah Shofar. So because there exists Xeris Amalchus, because there are Klippas out there, therefore that's what caused that it had to be moved from Shachris to Musaf. But ultimately we still overcome that, because after all, Musaf has also a connection with Avraham Avinu, which the Malchus, the were the Romans of that time, did not chapsach, and therefore yeah. Going back a little bit in the Gemara was discussing the point. Now, there were many tekhonis of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Altogether, it lists 9 tekhonis of his during his life. Now, one of them is, the Gemara mentions that we learned about this in Yuma, that they had different places where they would put the Loshen Shel Zahoris. They had the strip of red wool that originally they would tie onto the door of the Ulam, and then on the entrance of the Ulam, and then a nest would happen and it would turn white and everybody would be happy that it showed the Eibishter had forgiven their Averis. But then we said eventually that stopped happening and people would be very disappointed. So therefore, first they tried putting it inside the Ulam and people would still peek in. And eventually they said, we're going to send it off with the guy who sends off the Sur La'Azazel, and he'll take the strip with him, and that way he'll be the only one to see whether it turns white or not. So the Gemara mentions that this is one of the takonis of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The question is, the Gemara asks that since we learned also in Yuma that that didn't happen during the 40 years before the Churban, and now the Gemara is going to bring a summary of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's lifetime, where it comes out, the Kitzer, that he became the leader of the Jewish people less than 40 years after the Churban. So how is he making a takona for something that ended more than 40 years before the Churban? So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn a Braisa. Kol shnosa for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kuf chof shana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived to an age of 120. Mem shana osik v'prachmatia. The first 40 years he was dealing in business. Doesn't mean obviously he wasn't learning Torah. He wasn't Rabbi Akiva, that he was an Amoritz. It just means that he was kaveya itim la Torah during that time. He's working in business and spending all his free time learning Torah. Mem shana loma. The next 40 years he learned full time. Mem shana limit. And the next 40 years he taught the Jewish people. So we see, in other words, that he became the Av Beis Din only 40 years before he passed away. And the Gemara works out, since we know that he lived at a few years after the Churban, necessarily, therefore, when he became Nasi or Av Beis Din, must have been within 40 years of the Churban, and by that time the strip wasn't turning white anymore. So the Gemara ends up explaining what happened is while he was still a Talmud during the second 40 years is when he came up with this idea, and his Rebbe liked the idea and made it an official takana. So they called it after his name, even though it wasn't a takana that he made when he was Nasi or Av Beis Din, but it was a takana that was made because he was the one who gave the idea, you know what, let's stop putting it on the Ulam, let's go send it off with the fellow with the Sarda Mishtala. So now, in this connection, in Yaakov Brin's Kosibim Chavis Achirim, it's brought elsewhere, Shehilo Gamkin, Hoshnos of Kuchov. Hilo also lived to be 120 years old, and he had the same kind of thing. In particular, the last 40 years of his life is when he was Nasi. And the Gam Rabbi Akiva, Boim Shana Osik Prabhatya Fola, Rabbi Akiva also, the first 40 years he was also involved in earning a living, as we know he was a shepherd till he was 40, and Rachel discovered him and the whole thing, and then also Vasef Kufchov, Nero Akidish Hashem Yisbarach, and age 120, Rabbi Akiva was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. So we have three great Tanoim, 120. So we have three great Tanoim who will all live to the age of 120, and each one of them, their lives can be broken down into three sections of 40. It says the same thing about Moshe Rabbeinu. We also have, he was 40, according to one opinion, when he left Mitzrayim after killing the overseer. There's different opinions, but there's one opinion that he was 40. He was 80 when he came to take the, when Hashem sent him to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, and he lived to 120. So you have, it's brought about a couple of others. I think it's brought about Yeshaya as well, that he also lived to 120. So we have all that. The interesting thing is, it comes out from this. Now, if you were saying Rabbi Akiva was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, implying that maybe had the Romans not done that, maybe Yitzchak would have lived beyond 120. It says, for example, about Reb Chutz B'Samaturgam, about another one of the Asorah Arig Malchus, says about him, he lived to 130. So maybe Taka Rabbi Akiva would have lived longer. We learned earlier in the Masechta, actually, we said that the Gemara said on it that like this, everything that the Goyim stole from us, Hashem is going to make them pay back even something even more valuable than before. Tachas and Achoshes al Bizahav, the Sachas Eitzin Barzel, etc. That everything of lesser value is going to be replaced by something of greater value. And the Gemara said there's nothing that they, as far as Rabbi Akiva Vachaverav, there's nothing greater that they can of value that they can offer. And on that, Hashem says, "Vini Kasi, even if I clean up all their other Avedas." Dumb, I'm Lenny Casey. Hashem says, I will never clean up what they're guilty for the blood of tzaddikim, such as the Akiva, that they spilled. I didn't mention, by the way, in that connection, because I'd forgotten it over there, but there's actually an interesting verse that's brought on that. The Pasuk that Gemara brings on that, Tachas and Achoshes, Ovi Zahav, the last words of the Pasuk before that are Avir Yaakov. And the letters of Avir Yaakov can be rearranged to spell out Rabbi Akiva. Hinting at this point that Rebbe Akiva is the one thing that even though Tachas and Achoshes, Ovi Zohar, Vesachas, Abarz or Kesef, et cetera, but there's no replacement for Avir Yaakov for Rebbe Akiva. Hadron Alach Masech to Rosh Hashanah. Yom Yem Mashiach Ogo'ola, Vov Nissen. We say in the Haggadah, Vayishom Legoi, the Jewish people became a nation there in its name, Malamacho Yisrael Mitzuyonim Sham. From that, we learn that the Jewish people were distinguished over there. So what does that mean? The Rebbe points out in the letter, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim were a minority, and they were living under terrible conditions, but we're still saying they were still different, and they were still separate from their surroundings, and they proudly kept their way of life, their mesiros, and their originality. Tzuyonim, that they didn't change their names and their language and their religion and their clothing, and that's how Davka they guaranteed that they're going to continue to exist and reach the goal. So the same thing with our generation, by being the Tzuyonim Sham, by keeping our uniqueness, is how we're going to bring close to the goal. And by the way, I've seen it also pointed out, you know, when you think about it, it doesn't just mean that, you know, the fact that they're walking around as a Yid. You have to imagine, as you have nowadays, and as you had in previous times as well, that, you know, you could have, you're walking around with you walking around dressed as a Yid, and a Goy will throw a rock at you, or go and spit at you, or throw eggs at you, or whatever, as you have back in the old days in the Adayim Hazeh. So it's not just that they had that Mesiras Nefesh to keep their distinctiveness, even when Goyim are harassing them or whatever, they still do. Continuing with halachas of Shabbos. You're not allowed to rip or to braid together strings or hairs, such as detached hairs, that is, even two of them. So hairs themselves, for example, attached hairs, you can do what they do a Shabbos braid, where you do two things, but not three, but detached ones, and no, not even two of them. Then talking about as far as tying, when you want to tie something, so sometimes what you do is you take a string or something and you tie the two ends of it together, and then you make a double knot. So you can't make on Shabbos, you can't make two double knots, even if it's something you're gonna untie that day. So for that reason, for example, you'd have to be careful with a necktie or with different other things, with a scarf or whatever, you can't make a double knot. And for that matter, you can't untie it, so it can't be double knotted Erev Shabbos either. Then you also have, sometimes you'll have a string, you make a knot at one end of it, for example, the ends of your tzitzis strings to keep them from unraveling. That you can't do even a single knot you can't do on Shabbos, because that's also Miskayim. With two, when you tie in the ends of a garbage bag, one single knot is not going to last, one single half hitch or whatever is not going to last, but on a single string it would. As far as to make a half hitch and then a bow on it. So then, for example, with shoelaces, if it's something that you normally untie that day, then it would be mutter. So for example, you could do that with shoelaces, but if not, even if you particularly plan to untie it that day, but most people do not, then you can't. As far as two bows, one on top of the other, that would be mutter. And even if you plan to leave it like that for a long time, because bows like that are not actual knots. And the general rule is any kind of knot that you can't make on Shabbos, you also can't untie. If it's a matter of tsar, then you can have a goy untie it. And the Alter Rebbe adds, if it's something that really is not going to last at all the way it is, then you would be able to have even a yid untie it when it's been tsar.